What's up, everyone? Welcome to Ditto. Happy you're here. Matt, how are you doing?
Ashley, I'm good. I'm really good. Things are going good. Summer's good. Kids are good. Life is good. But I mean it. You know, a lot of people say good.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the standard. How are you? I'm good. I mean it. Like the good is, it's authentic. Now, let me ask you, if yours is good, is it authentic? And if it's not, well, tell us why.
Mine is good, and it is authentic because I'm always happy to be recording with you, and I love being a part of Ditto.
And likewise.
It is also good because we have a very specific and special request for our guests to do right now if they are capable. What is that?
That is. Now, we want you to really listen, folks, to this. So please turn up the volume. I'll give you 2 seconds to do that. One, two. Okay. Now our voices are loud and clear. We want you to pause the recording, the podcast, and after what I'm going to say, think of someone in your life that could benefit from listening to Ditto or watching if you're on YouTube. You can see our lovely faces. Well, Ashley's lovely face and my you can deal with face. And send that to this person. And so here's where you're going to pause. So we want you to think of that person and then do the little share button that's on Apple, Spotify, YouTube. It's all there. And we want you to text it to them, email it to them, something.
Maybe say, I was thinking of you. Thought 100%. That you would enjoy this episode, brighten their 100%. Day and brighten our day by sharing Ditto with the world.
So we're going to pause it. You're going to pause now. Pause. Done. How did it go, folks? Who did you send it to? So now when you get on your socials and you get on Instagram, especially because that's where Ditto is. Would you say that's where Ditto's most prominent, Ashley? Mm-hmm. We try to be as many places as we can. Tag us and then tag the person that you sent it to. And we want to see the connectedness and the wonderful influence that hopefully this podcast is generating. So,
yes. Anyways. Thanks for doing that, everyone. We appreciate it.
We really do. Really, truly do.
Awesome.
Ash, I have a joke for you real quick.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, you ready? It's a sports joke because we like sports. Why did the basketball team go to therapy?
Why did the basketball team go to therapy? I don't know.
Yes. Because they had too many issues with rebound relationships. Not bad.
That's a good one. I was trying to think of what basketball term would make sense, but I couldn't get it. So you got me. That's a good one.
Yeah, there's my joke for the day. That one's been a little bit better than some of these other ones. I think I've failed the last two jokes for some reason, but that one I feel like is just a tiny bit better.
No, it was
so hopefully good. You enjoyed it, folks.
Yeah, we appreciate the dad jokes.
Of course.
Oh man.
Okay, Ashley, what do you want to bring the listeners today to their sweet, sweet ears or eyes? What should we talk about today?
Well, I think we want to dive a little bit deeper into what my mindset and mental performance journey has looked like, does look like.
So with the help mindset of Ashley Hatch, if you will.
Yes.
I can't wait for this. Okay, so this one I think is going to be a little bit different from our last episodes. Most, if not all, of our episodes. Because usually we have like a scientific topic and then we unpack it from kind of anecdotal evidence and evidence-based stuff and peer-reviewed stuff. This is going to be straight from the mind of Sister Miss Ashley Hatch, okay? And at first we were like, should we do like a session and record it? Because Ashley and I obviously have worked together for a long time, but then that just makes it weird and kind of awkward. So then it was like, well, let's just essentially do a session with some of the questions that one might ask, or that I might ask Ashley in some of these instances, that most importantly, folks, you will find interesting, and even more importantly, you will find applicable. Okay?
Sounds good.
So I have roughly that I've generated five questions for you.
Okay.
And we want to make this fairly short and concise, but nonetheless, we want to see what you're thinking and what you've thought as a professional soccer player. I would argue, I know I'm very biased what I'm about to say when it comes to this, I would argue it's what sets you people apart, meaning being in a professional sport, being an athlete in a professional sport and being really good at it. It's one thing to be on a team as a professional athlete. It's another thing to be on a professional team and actually contribute at a very, very high, consistent level. And you have done that. So here we go. You ready for the first question?
I think so.
Okay. I know. Uh-oh. What is he going to ask? Ashley, when you're at your best on the field, mm-hmm. sorry, on the pitch,
mm-hmm.
what's going through your mind, or maybe even more importantly, what's not? If you need me to re-ask the question, let me know.
No, I think your question was very, very clear. And my answer is my mind is very, very clear when I'm at my best. And that is because I feel like there's not much going on in my mind because I'm not distracted. I'm very present. I'm really having fun. And I'm welcoming any and all challenges. And I'm just kind of like playing super freely and really just like soaking in the game and whatever stage we're at in the game, whether we're winning, it's like, okay, let's go get another goal. How can we continue to win this game, score more goals, or close out the game? Whether we're losing, it's like, okay, what needs to happen next? How can we score a goal? How can we get even? And how can we go ahead? So I feel like when I'm at my best, I'm playing very freely. Every play kind of builds on itself. Like the next play is better. The next play is better. Cool. And my confidence is just like almost like very visible. I feel like when I talk to like my close family or friends or like Jeff after the game, like they can always tell when I'm at my best in my mind because of the way that I play. And they can like notice it like physically in the way that I carry myself in the game.
Yeah. Love that. Would you say, as a graduate student many years ago in my master's degree, I learned this awesome acronym, WIN, so WIN. We've talked about this before, obviously, but maybe some people haven't heard it. It at least from kind of the sports psych lens, it stands for what's important now. And what it evokes is present moment awareness, present moment orientation.
Mm-hmm.
I, from what you just said and from knowing you, that feels like that's very applicable to answering that very first question. Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much
I am
so.
Wrong?
Oh, sorry. No, it is very applicable. You are 100% correct. Sorry, I was writing it down.
I know, I could tell you writing something down. Oh, that was so funny.
Yes, you are 100% wrong. Terrible. Just kidding.
That's
no, yeah,
not right.
That is right.
And so you're, and maybe you do this subconsciously, this is my guess, you're continuously going, okay, what do I need to do now? What do I need to do now? What's important now? What do I need to do? What's important now? It's not really dwelling on the past. It's not dwelling about the future. It's not worrying about Jeff in the stands, even though he's super good looking.
Very distracting.
Very distracting to look at. It's what needs to be done right in this moment, right? And I love that. I think it's very peer-reviewed, arguably evidence-based, argued to be the most effective mindset that one can have, especially in these high-pressure situations. Awesome. Anything else to add to that first question? It was beautiful the way you answered it.
Thank you. Okay. No, I think that's it.
Okay. Here's your second question. I really like this one because I've been on like half of this journey with you with this question. You'll understand what I mean here in just a minute. Ashley, how has your mindset evolved from rookie to veteran, seasoned player? Especially from proving yourself to leading others. Oof. How has your mindset evolved from rookie to veteran, especially from being able to prove yourself in leading others?
Wow. I mean, it's evolved so much. I feel like, I mean, anyone who's been listening to Ditto for the past season and a half now knows that I have come a long way. I feel like when I was a rookie, I didn't know as much about like the mental side of my game. I feel like I had a pretty good college career and foundation as a youth player because of like my parents and their involvement in my athletics and just the mindset that they like rubbed off on me and the way that, you know, I talked to them and that we communicated to each other and how we overcame, they helped me overcome challenges as a youth player and stuff like that. But then once I was out on my own, I feel like it became very obvious to me that this was something that I needed to intentionally work on because I found myself off the pitch, like dwelling too much about what had happened on the pitch. And then there was times where when I was on the pitch, I wasn't enjoying playing because I was worried about mistakes. I was fearful of mistakes. I didn't have that free feeling of like, I know what I'm doing. I trust myself. I trust my instincts, especially in the game of soccer. There's so many decisions that you can make in one play. There's probably like 10 to 20 different options you could do. And all of them can impact the way the game in a very different way. Wow. And so if you're not trusting your instincts and trusting your body, like there's just, you're not going to enjoy the game, but there's also risks to like injury or just making more mistakes and your confidence spiraling down. So like I could feel myself kind of at this higher level being more worried and not enjoying the game as much. And so I feel like once I started working with you, that's kind of when the evolution of my mental game really started impacting my physical game. And I was able to, I feel like, remind myself of the things that helped me get to where I was, but also kind of build some new, you know, strategies and new tools to help me continue to improve in those areas. And I went from being, you know, worried about mistakes to playing a lot more freely and being very confident in who I am as a person on and off the pitch. And then I feel like as I became more confident in who I am and enjoying not only soccer, but enjoying life more fully and being more present, and just accepting challenges and trials and triumphs as they come and go, I feel like then that's kind of when I was able to transition and transform into more of a leadership role, especially with my team, like you said, as a seasoned veteran. And a lot of these younger players coming in, I feel like naturally, just the way that I go about my business of kind of leading by example, the younger players that saw that in me, I feel like it was really easy to lead them or to just for them to ask me questions or to build that trust just because they see the way that I carry myself and the way that I play and the way that I treat everyone off the pitch. And I think that's really important. I don't think I would have gotten to that point if I wasn't very intentional about the mental side of my game.
Yeah. I love that question and your response even more so for so many reasons, but I think it really, like you just put on display, I think it really invited, you know, this reflection of identity and growth and internally shifting over time.
Yeah.
you said towards the very end there, and we talked about this in our last episode with meditation and mindfulness. These two words, and they're synonymous, allowance / acceptance. Mm-hmm. Like, you continually develop physical skill sets over time. Obviously, you continue to get better at PKs or defense or whatever it might be tactically, especially from a physical standpoint. However, being now at that level for as long as you've been doing it, a lot of it now is the allowance, allowing your body to do what it knows how to do. Mm-hmm. You're now obviously at a level where physical abilities, you have them. You can be successful. And there's a whole lot of tape to prove that that is true. And so for me, in knowing you the last 6 years-ish, allowance / acceptance has been such a huge part of that. Like, I'm my own worst enemy. I need to just mm-hmm. allow for these things, especially my body, to do its thing on mm-hmm. the pitch. And then when I don't need to be on the pitch, like, mentally, let's go be with my family. Mentally, let's go do something else. And then shifting again and having this identity. Now I'm back on the pitch. Okay, now I need to do it, and I need to allow and accept these things. So essentially everything you just said, but from my perspective and seeing your maturation or your evolution, that's been a part of it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's been awesome.
Thanks.
Cool. Okay, next question. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I really like this one, actually. Ashley, what's something people think gives you confidence, but it actually doesn't? And what truly does give you confidence?
Ooh, that's a good question. I've never really, like, specifically sat down and thought about this. I think something that people thinks gives me confidence but doesn't. I mean,
what truly does?
I feel like people would think that attention or accolades or, like, my goals, making, like, highlight reels or whatnot, would maybe give me confidence. But of course, like, all those things are great and they're fun, but they're kind of just like a side note. I think for me, what gives me confidence is just being able to play the game freely and, like, execute something that, like, I have been working on for however long. So,
yeah,
like, scoring goals obviously, like, really gives me confidence, but there's been games where I've scored goals but I didn't think I played great. So it's kind of needs mm-hmm. to be the full package. Like, I've had games where I feel like, oh my gosh, that was one of the best games in my life, but I didn't score a goal, or I didn't even, like, sniff the goal.
Interesting. Yeah.
But I was still really proud of myself and the things that I did because I was playing like myself. So I think for me, like, having that full package of, like, I played with confidence, I played with freedom, I played like myself, I wasn't scared to make decisions, I wasn't scared to shoot the ball, and scoring obviously always adds to that, but I wouldn't say it's the end all be all. I think it just happens to be my position, and if you don't score, then you're not doing your job. So that can be hard sometimes, but yeah, I would say that people would probably think that scoring or, like, the accolades would give me the confidence, but for me, it's like truly just feeling like I played like myself and I gave it all I had, and just being happy with that effort and being, like, true to myself as a player every time I step off the pitch.
So process over outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very, very process oriented.
So
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which so many athletes and coaches should and can relate to, because you want to win and you want the accolades, but it's a yeah. small piece of the grandiose yeah. puzzle, right, of the athletic yeah. experience.
I feel like my dad did a really good job of helping me kind of instill that at a younger age, mostly by the things that he did praise. And yeah. a lot of the times he did praise, like, putting in the extra work or not giving up no matter what the result was. Or I feel like he taught me to thrive in situations where the odds are stacked against me. And so now I kind of, like, those any situation where it's like, oh, you shouldn't be here and I'm there. Like I thrive in those environments just because I feel like at a young age, my dad just like taught me to like enjoy those moments
Wow.
and like if people are
Yeah.
counting you out, like prove them wrong, you know? And so I feel like he did a really good job of instilling that mindset of just like process over outcome. And then obviously like when you do get the outcome, it's that much sweeter.
Right.
But like I didn't really in high school, I think was the first time I really was made aware of like records because like I think it was my freshman year. I transitioned from playing in the midfield to playing striker or forward. And we were like halfway through the season. And my coach came up to me and was like, hey, you're like 3 goals away from breaking the freshman scoring record. And I was just like, what? Like, we keep track of those things? Like, cool, I
Yeah.
guess, you know? And that's kind of when I rec like realized that, like, oh, people do like do these things for individual like accolades or outcomes, which are always cool and fun. But for me, at the end of the day, if my team isn't winning, if my team's not making it to the championship, I don't feel like those accolades like matter as much because I'm part of a team and this is our process. This is what we want to do. So yeah, that was the first time I feel like I like realized that we actually keep track of individual stats in team sports.
Yeah, interesting. I love that. Ashley, what role has your faith played in your confidence?
Oh, huge. It's been a huge role. It's played a huge role. I feel from a very young age, I was fortunate enough to be a part of a family that are members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and my identity was always rooted in being a daughter of God, and so I was reminded of that over and over every Sunday, every day, you know, when we are just having family scripture study or family home evening, whatever it may be, it was just a regular part of my life and my conversation with my family and with church friends and stuff. And so I never once really, I mean, your identity kind of does naturally get intertwined with whatever you do, whether it's work or sports. But I
Sure.
feel like anytime I felt like it was getting a little too intertwined, I never hesitated to remind myself that my true identity is in me being a daughter of God and not a good or bad soccer player. And so I'm just super grateful for that foundation because I've fallen back on it so many times and I've had to remind myself of it so many times, especially when times get hard or when people, you know, the critics out there, whatever they may be, are telling you that you're not good or this or that. I think having that foundation has really helped me make it all the way to where I am today.
Wow, beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. That was a side
That
question
was
to
a
my
side
first
question.
question.
That wasn't one of your five.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Okay. Next question. This one's more about your strategic orientation, so actual strategies from an emotional, psychological standpoint. Okay, so let's say, Ashley, you're in a game where your confidence is low, or the pressure is really high, or both. Okay, what's the inner dialogue that you lean on in those moments to help you emotionally, psychologically, etc.?
It's a good question. Well, I feel like as you're asking this question, I've a specific game came into mind when my inner dialogue was not great, and then I feel like a game when my inner dialogue was great. For me, when it's not in a place that I want it to be, or my confidence is low, and I'm not mentally where I know I should be, I feel like I often rely on other people or other sources to help me get to where I need to be. And sometimes I give that power to someone else, like a coach or a teammate. Like, oh, if they would just do this for me, it would really help my confidence. Like, if the coach really would just finally praise me or give me some instruction, or the reason I'm not doing good is because I wasn't prepared for X, Y, and Z scenario, whatever, then I know that I'm not in a good place, because a lot of my energy and focus is going towards something or someone that is not under my control or influence at all. It's a complete waste of time. But I often see it in a lot of other players too, or teammates sometimes, where it's like, well, the reason why I didn't play well, the reason why my confidence isn't great is because of so-and-so or X, Y, and Z. And there may be a little bit of truth to that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's not something that you can directly impact or influence, especially in the middle of a game. The only thing that you can directly influence or impact is what you say to yourself and how you, whatever tools you have in your tool belt to help you climb out of this maybe hole that you're in. Mm-hmm. And so when my mindset is in a good spot, I take full responsibility and take full ownership of getting myself to a better spot. And so what that often looks like is, it's okay, next one, or it just takes one, or like, let it go if it was a mistake. Oftentimes I have to like force myself to do something I'm scared of doing because of a mistake maybe I just made. Like, for example, being a number nine, like center striker, a lot of times, yes, you're asked to score goals, but a lot of times you're a really important key player in the buildup of your team and getting, helping them get out of pressure. And a lot of that time, that looks like you being back to goal with very strong, intimidating defenders like on your back, ready to push you over, knock you over any chance they get. And so if someone sends you like a long ball or a pass like pretty firmly to you, and you're not able to hold off those defenders and keep control of the ball, it can lead to a transition for the other team. And so I've done that many times where I made a mistake or I wasn't able to control it, and the last thing I want to do is try that again because I just got knocked on my butt. And but I know my team needs it, and I know that's my role, so I'm like, I can do one of two things. I can hide and I can be like, oh, that was a bad pass, I can't believe she gave that to me, yada, yada, yada. Or I can be like, it's all right, I got the next one. Next one, I'm going to make more contact, or next one, I'm going to avoid as much contact, or I'm going to make sure my first touch is a little bit better, or I'm going to lay it off first time. Like, there's solutions that you can find and that you can learn from that mistake. But if you're not mentally in a good spot, you're not going to be able to learn and adapt and make the next decision better. So when I am in a good mental headspace, I'm able to make those adjustments and I'm able to confidently do them or force myself to do something that was scary. But then when I'm able to do it successfully, then it's game over. I figured it out.
I love it. I mean, to distill everything you just said, at least in my mind, it's adapting and having the skill sets to back up the adaptation. Like, there's so much preparation and deliberate practice that goes into being able to adapt, quote unquote, successfully, especially when your confidence is low and or the pressure's high. And psychologically, there's no different, right? To be able to get to that efficacious spot of adaptation, you need to put in the work beforehand. And I think you just talked about what that looks like for you. So bravo. I love that answer.
Thanks. Okay.
Ashley, are you ready for my last question?
Yes, I am. Okay.
So this is touching on purpose and like motivation, especially from a broad perspective.
Okay.
How has your why or your purpose changed over the years? And then how does that impact like your preparation, your recovery, and especially dealing with setbacks / challenges? If you need me to re-ask that question, let me know.
So how has my why changed over the years?
Yep.
And impacted?
Has that impacted preparation, training, recovery, and especially dealing with setbacks?
Yeah, I feel like earlier in my career, my why wasn't maybe as known as it is now. And I feel like everything felt very like short term. So like what can I accomplish like now? Like how many goals can I score? How many games can we win? Or I felt like my why was very like surface level. And I mean, rightfully so, when you're younger, you kind of just think more about yourself.
Totally, yeah.
And it's all about kind of like what's next for me? What's the next goal? What's the next step? What's the next ladder to climb? But then as I've gotten older and in my career, like there's not much more that I can climb that's in my direct control. Like I'm playing at the highest level I could possibly be playing at. I've had opportunities with the national team, like hopefully more opportunities in the future, but also that those are never guaranteed. So for me right now, like what's most important compared to what was most important back then? Like it was like, okay, high school, then to college, and then college to pro, and then climbing up within the pro system, like, okay, I'm a rookie, I'm not getting very many minutes, and then becoming a starter, and then, okay, how can I continue to climb in those areas? So I feel like my why was very surface level and very like outcome oriented. And I feel like now my why is like much deeper rooted into like not only me, but the people that I can influence and help along the way, and the people that are impacted by what I'm doing, especially like my husband and our family, and the person that like I want to be for them is way more important than whatever accolades I receive. I think, like I said, the accolades are fun. But in I don't know, however many years from now, when we have a family, my future family and my kids are gonna know me for the person that I am, the mom that I am, more. That's gonna impact them more than like how many trophies I won. And so for me, my why is not only becoming the best soccer player that I can be, but the best person. And I think those two things are very intertwined by the way that I choose to like live my life and be the player that I want to be. And I feel like it was like, I don't know, when we started working together and I started working more on the mental side of my game, that I realized how intertwined they were and how that's a good thing. And yeah, so I would say my why is much deeper, because I'm wanting to just become the best person that I can be for the people around me. And I care so much more about the people around me than I do about like myself and the accolades that I can receive while I'm playing and yada, yada, yada. So I would say that's kind of how my why has evolved. I don't know if I answered your second question.
You did. No, you did. I know that was a
Okay.
deep question. I've always told coaches and players, a better person is going to make a better soccer player, football player, baseball player, etc. And you just told us why. Ha, pun intended. Why? In fact, I was just having a conversation with a college football player the other day, Ashley, about this. And I asked him, I said, what's important to you? And it was first like, well, I want to do well in football and I want to get blah, 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 football. And I'm like, well, okay. Football's great, but like broadly speaking in your life, what's important to you? And then he went into his faith, he went into his family, he went into things that aren't directly football related. And then I said, there's no reason you can't use the strength of your faith, of your family, of other things in your life to be a better football player. You don't need to separate them so much because you are a human being playing football. You are a human being in the classroom, in relationships, in your faith. So take you wherever you go. And that's going to be holistically that much of a stronger orientation in whatever domain that might be in that moment. So, and it hit him. He was like, yeah, okay. I could see why that is important and why that would work. Anyways, yeah. So Ashley, thanks for everything that you just said. I found it very interesting, and I'm hopeful that the audience found it interesting. I just don't feel like we've sat down and gone over kind of, I know we're at like, what, on 37 minutes now? We've never like gone over like you and your mindset. And I think this will paint a clearer, I know it will paint a clearer picture of you and your mindset, and hopefully help people, you know, gain some inspiration and applicable tidbits for their own and for those that they coach or lead or whatever.
Totally.
So, bravo. Well,
thank you. Thank you for your wonderful questions. They, they were really good. And I think, I think one thing I want to add to that last point that you were making about, you know, take you wherever you go is, I think the reason why this concept sometimes feels so foreign to us is because we often highlight, I'm just going to use Tim Grover's verbiage here, of like the dark side, or like in order to be the best athlete, you kind of need to be nasty, or you need to be this way or that way. And I mean, that's a conversation that we've had before, but yeah, you can be like aggressive on the field and you can be a different person on the field, but like holistically, if you're not happy with the person that you are, like I do feel like that's kind of fleeting. And I do feel like sometimes we don't really tap into our full potential if we're not satisfied with the holistic person that we're trying to become. And so I do feel like it's a new kind of narrative when it comes to like high performance and high performing athletes, is like this notion of paying attention to all aspects and all areas of your life and making sure they're all synchronized and moving in the right direction. Because a lot of the times, even me, like growing up, it was like, you can't have any distractions. Like, don't let anything take away from soccer. But it's like, wait, actually, what if these things are adding to soccer? And what if these things are adding to my life, you know? And so I do think it's kind of foreign sometimes to people. I'm sure you deal with it all the time, of this kind of like holistic approach. But yeah. I'm a big proponent of it. So,
yeah, it's funny. I started coaching a jiu-jitsu person. I won't say their name or who they are. They're essentially professional. They do jiu-jitsu, grappling, and martial arts. And they came in and we started working together. And after like 2 months, they go, I didn't think this is what it was going to be like. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, hopefully that was a good statement. And they go, I just didn't think we would talk about like my faith and my relationships and like everything that makes me me. But then they go, but it totally makes sense. Like, why would we not talk about those things? They were under the impression like they're going to come in, I'm going to provide mental skills for them and self-talk and goal setting, and then they'll be on their way. That's just not my MO. And I think it was surprising, but in a good way for this particular person. So again, just speaking to your point of the importance of recognizing the entire human being. It's really for important in my humble opinion. So
Well, I agree.
There we go. Okay. Cool.
Well, thanks, Matt, for another great episode. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We won't pester you again to share, but thank you for sharing at the beginning of the episode. And as always, we're super grateful for all of our listeners.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.